Okay. We've got a convergence of three things today, haven't we? Sort of a definite improvement in the weather and Mother's Day and the clocks going forward. So those crossover things mean that we're down on numbers. So I'm going to make some adjustments as I go along. We've talked about the fact that we're accepting and working with the situation that people can't honestly, we can't honestly rely on everybody being here every week. One of the things we want to do is to put more and more effort into making sure that you can pick up quickly, both from a revision and also from online, what we've been doing over the time. So we've been talking about the fact that we are what God has made us. And we're concentrating on a relatively small part of the scripture from about Ephesians 1:15 through to Ephesians 2:10. And we're picking out just the last verse of that, which I think is sort of punchline. And here we've put it up in five different translations, just for fun, really. But to make the point as well that what you're really looking for, I do encourage you to read a variety of translations, apart from two. One, because it just annoys the hell, annoys me, and that's the Message, which I know some people like. And the other is the Amplified Bible, which is known in the trade as a multiple choice Bible, which suggests that you read it and then you just choose any meaning you want out of the range. But just to say something about the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Bible had an idea behind it that when it came to what it thought was a key word, it went into one of the dictionaries and wrote all the different words it could mean out of the dictionary. So you really do have a choice, because you know that meanings have a spread, right? You think of the word green and how far that spreads. Well, other words are like that. We were discussing the word holiness during the week over lunch. Strange thing to do over lunch, but Wendy and I were with Andrew and Ruth Price on Friday, and we were talking about what was happening in their church. And you've got this great range of things which could mean anything from being a monk at one end to living a holistic life at the other. And that's the range of meanings there. So what you're doing when you look at lots of different translations, you don't go for one and pick it, right? That's nuts, because they're all good translations. What you're looking for is the overlap. Where are they all saying pretty much the same thing? Because you can be pretty sure that if five translations are saying the same thing, then you're pretty okay on it. And you would believe that certainly in the New Testament, probably 99% of the occasions, the overlap is almost total. So while you've got people who are trying to be a little bit clever, finding this word handiwork, right? And the reason they put that word handiwork in is that I think it is that the actual words in Greek, bearing in mind they don't have any many words, is work with hands. Okay, so you can translate as handiwork. Now, for us, handiwork means something really quite different, because it means not machine made. Yeah? It means artwork. Now, of course, it didn't mean that, because whether you were making bricks or doing sculpture, it was all handiwork, you know? Whether you were working in mud or in gold, it was all handiwork. So just when you read several translations, just look at what they're all saying the same thing on. And you'll come through here that essentially God has made us what we are, is what we're talking about. We are what God has made us. Now, that seems sort of obvious. It's one of those things that you can't disagree with. It's a bit like motherhood and apple pie. But we don't live like that, because a lot of the time we really, really, really spend time picking at what we are. And I was thinking about that song that comes pretty much straight from the Bible. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender, Lord, into your hands. Great thing to do. But our focus is actually that God wants to give you some ambitions. Right? God doesn't want us not to be ambitious. But he wants us to really, really be ambitious, to really be targeted. And I thought we'd start with an exercise which some of you may feel is slightly morbid. Slightly morbid. And let me hand out the cards and so that we can do this, and then we'll deal with the pens afterwards. But do take a card. Everybody take a card. Any card you like. I can tell you what's on your card. Now, what we could do with, at this point is a graphic artist. Do we have a graphic artist in the house? Yes, we do. Jana, come up here. I want you to do. I want a simple outline. I don't want it bedecked with little birdies or things like that. What I want is a tombstone.
Tombstone.
A gravestone, a headstone. You can have a little bit of grass at the bottom, but no more than that. Okay, you do need to take the lid off the pen as well.
And
with this.
And it kind of comes out of the grass.
Yeah, that's right. Not attached to a zombie or anything like that, just a tombstone. Nice and big, a nice tombstone, yeah. One that other people can copy. Oh, gosh. Yeah. There's a tombstone. Okay. Now, that's good. Thank you very much. So,
should you go ride anything else?
No.
Sit down.
You can sit down, yeah. Pass out the pens and pencils. If you want a pencil, start with a pencil. Then you can colour in, if you like, with a pen. Pass them round, Carol, as fast as you can, because otherwise we'll be all morning doing this. I'll give you the link to the website, but you can actually go on to a website. You can prepare your gravestone, right, your headstone, and you can post it on Facebook if you like. And what I would like you to do is draw your tombstone in your version, please. Draw your headstone, tombstone, whatever. And what I want you to do is to put your name on there. You can put the date you were born. You need another website to get the date you're going to die, which I can direct you to. Actually, I went onto it yesterday and I found it really off-putting. I put the data in and it gave me a date I was going to die, and it told me how many days I'd got left. And being me, I started trying to work out what I was going to do on each of those days and how much I wanted to allocate them. But the other thing I did, I looked at it.
You should already
be dead yet. No, it didn't. But it, of course, it got this BMI thing that you were calculating. And I had a look to see how much I would have to drop to extend my life. And basically, if I dropped 10 kilos... I could live for another year, apparently. It'll just seem like 10 years extra. But I'll give you both those websites, and if you're that way inclined, you can go on to it. Do not do it when you're feeling fed up anyway. Okay. But here's the thing. This is what we're after. What would you like to see written on your... gravestone? I remember once we were driving along in the car, and Wendy and I were having a conversation about this exercise, and I said to her, what would you like to have written on your tombstone? And I don't know whether she'll even remember this, but it struck me, because Wendy's not the most decisive person, but she knew exactly what she wanted, and that was, she made a difference. Yeah? That was her, that was the thing that she wanted on her gravestone. That was, you know, that was to be the measure of her life. What would you like on your gravestone?
I told you I was ill.
Actually, with Spike Milligan, you know, the church refused to allow him to have that on the tombstone. Yeah.
He did it in Latin.
Yeah. Is it? He actually got it in Latin. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm somewhat into zombies, and I thought I'm Coming Back to Get You would be a good one.
Not dead yet.
How are you getting on? Carol's writing an essay on hers. Okay, a statue. Yeah. Right. Who's made a pitch at it? Okay, what you got, Nathan?
It is a gravestone with my name, my depa.
Okay, yeah. Made it to 19 just. Sorry, I just thought of that. Yeah. Anybody else? What you got? Rosie, what you got? You've got an essay on yours, haven't you?
Well, all the normal things, but
Mother of Many. Mother of Many. Okay. Is this some news you've got? Mother of Many. Yeah. Carol, what was yours?
Good and faithful friend.
Good and faithful friend. Aww. Yeah. What do you got, Rolf?
Complete yes.
Yeah? I think that's not a good thing to have on your tombstone, not complete yet, because when we get there, we will be complete, which is one of the great things. Sue?
I've got every day lived to the full.
Every day lived to the full. Yeah, that's what your husband was complaining about the weekend before last. now he's in trouble. Dave, what have you put on yours?
I put a life well lived.
A life well lived. Richard?
Good husband, father and friend.
Great. Julie?
Rest in peace, thank God for that.
Yeah. Peace at last, yeah. Dawn?
Living forever.
Living forever. Great. I suppose she is coming back as a zombie. Anybody else? Annabelle? You haven't got there. Kira?
Will be remembered.
Will be remembered. Yeah. Just like Sweeney Todd. See? You guys get the thing yet? No. Just got as far as your name. Yeah. I think with your luck, Tanisha, almost certainly your name would be spelled wrong by the people who write it. Yeah. Okay. So, how do we get remembered? This is really what I'm talking about, is God has made us what we are. And if we discover what we are, you know, he made loads of money, got lots of promotions. That's not what we are, what God wants us to be. His golf handicap was fantastic, you know, played in the cup final. Those are not going to be the things which we want to be remembered for. What we want to be remembered for is the fact we've found out what God made us to be, and we've enjoyed living in that. So, I have to come out of this program, and I hope I can get back into my own one, but I wanted to show you the other video that went with the Diane Louise Jordan story. That was really interesting, wasn't it, to know that she had adopted her...
In 1989, I was a single girl on the road as an actress, doing really well actually, never out of work, having the prime of my life, and never thinking about being a parent or anything like that, but literally overnight, sadly, my sister died, and so I became mum to my then 2-year-old niece, and as you can imagine, there was a whole array of emotions I was feeling, obviously just mourning the loss of a sister who I'd been incredibly close to. And yet at the same time, so grateful that she'd left behind this life, this beautiful human being. I just felt like God, it was so amazing that he'd orchestrated out of this incredibly sad situation, this gift to me, that's the only way I can describe her, this gift of life to me. So yeah, at an incredibly sad time, I became something that I'm so grateful for experiencing. Well, obviously, on one level, losing my sister on Good Friday doesn't feel good at all, and it wasn't. It was a horrible day. But if she had to die on any day, I'm so grateful that it is that actual day, because it means so much to me. It reminds me of Jesus, actually, because he died on Good Friday, and that, for Christians, that is felt like the bleakest day possible, where all hope stopped. And that's what it felt like for us as a family. It felt like all hope had stopped on that Good Friday. But 3 days later, Jesus rose, and we're living in that hope now. And for me, with our little situation, I feel like my daughter represents the hope for us. Yes, my sister died. Yes, I wish that had never happened. It did happen. And out of that, there's this incredible life that I feel so privileged that God has allowed me to be the parent of this new life. I can't think of anything better. I think about Good Friday as a tough day, but I always remember that out of Good Friday came new life, and I've witnessed that in my own personal situation. She's now an adult, she's a mum, and she's married, and she's got 3 children of her own, and she is such an incredible person. She's kind, she's loyal, she's fun, she's such a great person. I don't know anybody who doesn't think she's a kind, loyal, good person. So I just feel very privileged that I've had some involvement in bringing up that person who's turned out to be an incredible human being.
I wonder how Diane Louise would rank her important contributions in life. Her appearances on TV, the shows she's done, or bringing up a daughter. What's the more significant thing for her? That's what we're pointing towards, finding out what God has made you to be. And somewhere down within you is something that God has made you to be that will contribute to people's forevers. That's what we want to discover. That's what we want to release. That's what we want to celebrate. And that's what we want to move the barriers out of the way of. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. You remember last week I said, this video really resonated for me when I saw it, because last week we were talking about the fact that many of you have been through bad things, and we invited you to come and receive prayer, because it is out of those bad things, which God didn't intend. You know, God didn't wish on Diane Louise that her sister would die and so she would acquire a small child. But because of the way things are, because of the way the world is, bad things happen. And one of the things we want to get to, and we may not in this series, is that the big step for you will be realizing that Jesus was with you when those bad things happened. And let's just move on. Yeah, you've only got to go to Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. What's the darkest valley you've walked through? God was there. It would have been brilliant if you'd have known about that at the time. But even now, it's possible for you to say, yes, Lord, I know now that you were there, that you were protecting me, that you were looking after me. I just want to get as far this morning as talking about the fact that out of difficult circumstances, God brings good. And next week, which is the final week we'll do on this for now, we'll go on to having a look at what this business is about good things, good works. You know, what is this life of good works that we're already beginning to hint at? Okay, here's my next video. Look at this one. Oh, that was the Diane Louise Jordan one. Here was another verse that I thought just amplified what you get in Psalm 23. When you pass through the waters, the Lord says, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. One of the problems we face, because we don't really understand that God was with us all the time, we don't understand what it says here, that when tough stuff happens to us now, we play out the same old script. We think we're on our own. We think that we are victims. We aren't victims. We're people who overcome, because God is with us, and that's the possibility that is built into us. Yep, what's this one?
I believe God's in control, and when life doesn't make sense, we know that God still has a plan, hope, and a future for each and every one of us. God doesn't change his circumstance, we know that he can use it for good, that others may see the power of Christ in us. I realize that God is more interested in changing my heart than my circumstance. And this is the purpose that we are called to live for. To be a living testimony to those around us, that they can see the victory that we can live in by the power of His Holy Spirit. And maybe these challenges that are present in my life are not just for me to be more dependent on God, but to be an example and a visual aid of God's strength and victory through my weakness. When I was younger, I used to be adamant about being independent in my daily living. But now, I see that it's so much easier having a caregiver, and that gives me more time and energy to do the things that God's called me to do. When attempting to achieve your dreams, it seldom happens the first time. But those who succeed are the ones who never give up. What do you do when you fail? You try again. What happens when you fall down? You get back up. You do not know what you can achieve until you try. In the beginning, there were many things I could not do. But because I chose to never give up, I now am living a life without limits.
Okay, I'm actually going to show you another video here, because let's just work out the best way of finding this one, if I can, which is another one about him. I want to show you a final one. But there are 175 videos on his website, all of which are interesting. I think lots of them are the same talk in different places, but have a look at this one.
People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water flight all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is waiting for other people to come down. Here I come, and they're freaking out. They're like, and I was so tempted to look at myself and go, "What happened?" There were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, "Well, I can't do this and I can't do that." And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arm's length, I wish I had arm's length, I wish I had arm's length, the solution won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple of key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I'll tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything. You see, it's very hard to smile sometimes in life. There are things that happen that you don't know and you don't understand, and you don't know if you're going to get through it. You know, you go through your storms in life and you don't know how long this storm's going to be. And today I want to share with you some principles that I've learned in my life that you can use in yours. I tell you, it's the hardest thing. But I realize I may not have hands to hold my wife's hand, but when the time comes, I'll be able to hold her heart. I don't need hands to hold her heart.
You know, it is scary to know how many girls have eating disorders. It is scary to know how many people are just angry at life because of their situation at home and angry at others.
Scary to know how many people actually feel like they're worth nothing. Every single girl right here, right now, I want you to know that you are beautiful. You are gorgeous just the way you are. And you boys,
you're the man.
On this DVD, I share my experiences in life of how I've overcome challenges and see.
The key to Nick, whatever his name is, story. By the way, if you want to go on his website, unless I think it's VUJICIC, we will put up the links. But it's better to go Life Without Limbs to get to his site, and that will I'm sure. That will be more useful to you. You've got a copy of the DVD, yeah? This is the verses that influenced him, and I think these are really important for you too. You know, the Jews believed in something like karma, and that was bad stuff happened to you because you were bad, okay? Because of sin and so on. And they came along with a guy who was born blind. Doesn't say how old he was. Well, he was grown up anyway. He may say how old he was anyway. That's the important point. But they brought this guy to Jesus for a point of argument and said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Once again, I'm quoting from the Authorised Version, aren't I? His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, here's the transformative thing for you with the stuff that has gone on in your life. Right, is to find yourself at the point where you can say that this bad stuff that happened to me, my life up to this point, hasn't happened for any other reason than that the works of God might be displayed in me. I don't want to remove the idea of you being an important part of this, but if you want to, you can think of yourself as being the screen, and God has been creating a screen so that he can project his works on you. Much better to think of the fact that God is going to so fill your life that you can do works like Jesus would have done. In fact, God with skin on. Yeah? That's where we where it's up to. Yeah. Let Nick make the point himself.
I was born in Melbourne, Australia, 1982, and my parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs. I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. My faith in Jesus Christ was sealed after 7 years of wondering why, God, I was born this way. He answered me very clearly through John chapter 9. And I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after reading about how he came across a man who was born blind. And I'm like, hey, hold on a second, this looks interesting. And no one knew why he was born that way. I'm like, perfect. So I read on, and in verse 3 of the 9th chapter, Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me. And that was the beginning of my personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah? You see, just one simple thing speaks to us. That's revelation. And you remember that when I introduced this topic, we started from Ephesians 1:15, which was where Paul talked about having the spirit to enlighten us about what God has called us to. And I'll probably actually finish here because I punched this point home hard enough, I think, today, just taking the time. It's a bit of a luxury to be able to concentrate on a small area, but I decided that that's what I really wanted to do, was to spend 4 weeks on one verse. And I'm really glad I'm doing it, because I feel as though if we can get to this, it'll give us not only the ability to live our own lives, but to look past the mud on other people's lives and see what God has made. Because if God's got a plan for us, he never planned for anybody. You know, if God's got a destiny for us, a future for us, he can do the same for other people as well. What was I just saying? Oh yeah, I was saying about where at the beginning. This was where we started. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So that's the dynamic. That's what happened for this guy. It's what's happened for many of you, that God at some point has shown you that life could be better. Right? But the other bit to that is that God has been preparing you all the way through. And where you are today is a result of his purpose and his plan. And there is joy in the future. Can you say this? God has made me what I am. Try it. God has made
me what I am.
Turn to somebody else and say their name. Nathan, God has made you what you are. Turn to somebody and say it. Yeah. Okay. I'm heavily into that Gungor song that we played at the beginning. I'm going to play it again. I'm not going to particularly ask for a response. You know, if you want to, you can turn to somebody and say that God is making something beautiful out of your life. Nathan, I suggest you don't say that to Rolf. I think I prefer that God is making something excellent out of my life. Because my response, if somebody says God is making something beautiful out of your life, is to say, who are you kidding? I don't particularly aspire to be beautiful. I do aspire to find excellence in what God has called me to do. So let's see if I can quickly go through to 10, 11, 12. Have a little think about this and have a chat with one another. No, it's the wrong one. I want to show you that next week. Violins all over the place. Well, this is not a violin. It's a big violin. Okay, that's it for today. You're welcome. Chat with one another. Pick up this. Say something that you got out of it. I